heaven. Oh. There you go, Sue. You can live with that one. Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Welcome right here to Only Believe at Kenton. Praise God. We can give God a hand clap of praise for that. Hopefully we're excited. We're ready to see God move. I know I am. I know the worship team is. Pastor Gina is. We're so thankful you guys came out tonight. Guys, just really know God is faithful. Okay? Get that deep down into your spirit. Don't let go of that. Hold on to that for dear life. Your God is faithful. He never fails. He never gives up. He never quits. He can't. It's not in his nature, and he won't. Amen. So let us just put that deep within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, and let's get that in us, and let's praise God for that tonight. Amen? Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm ready to praise him. Is anybody ready to praise him for the things he's done and the things he's yet to do? Amen? We're just going to give you glory, God. Hallelujah. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, take my hand now. Lead me out in the living water. You're the wellspring. You're stirring. You're the life for your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Come and give the Lord his glory. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, into your love. I go open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Lift your hands, give the Lord his glory. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, into your love. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, into your love. There is freedom in the water, there is healing in the water of Jesus. You're the river that will never find the end. There is freedom in the water, there is healing in the water of Jesus. You're the river that will never find the end. There is freedom calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still.
Can't do it.
because you love. Oh, miracles we'll see. You're too good to not believe. You sing it.
Just right.
With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God all my life. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God, and I will sing the goodness of God, and I will sing of the goodness of
turn it up. I'll go.
And so he's not here, obviously. You get me today, tonight? And I'm ready. I'm just telling you I'm ready. It's been a while, hasn't it? And I'm just ready. But he's fishing with Pastor and some other pastors, and they're just having a good time getting rest and just enjoying themselves. Amen. They need to get away sometimes. They work endlessly, tirelessly. I'll get up at 12, and he's on the phone, believe it or not. Just counseling or just excited with some other pastors or evangelists that we know. And he's just preaching and they're preaching to each other like it's crazy. Then I have to yell at him, come to bed. It's time to come to bed. But I loved last week where we were at when Shane and Pastor Phil played out in front of you what you should do when the enemy attacks. Amen? And Phil's been talking about fighting. Fight. And I have to be honest with you. In the natural world, I was a fighter too. I'd fight you on anything. It didn't matter. Look at me sideways. And it was on. I'm not like that anymore. God's healed me from that. God has delivered me from that. And I love you now. You couldn't look at me sideways enough to make me do anything but love you. Amen? But it has changed in the spiritual. But I'm still a fighter. Amen? I'm still a fighter. It's just now I fight for the kingdom of God. And I think that sometimes I don't, I'm going to just take it off, guys. It's okay. We're good. I think sometimes when we hear fight, those of us that are passive, and there's some sweet people out there probably never even thought about fighting in their entire life. Amen? And I thank God for those people, because those people in the kingdom have showed me how to be soft. Yes, I can be soft. You may not see it that often, but I can be. Philip, be quiet. They've showed me how to love unconditionally. And I've showed them how to fight. Not give up. Not lay down. Because when you're in a battle for your life or for somebody that you love's life, you can't sit down. You can't sit down. You're their lifeline. Jesus said that greater is he that is on the inside of you than he that is in the world. Does everybody know that Jesus is the answer for whatever it is? Whatever situation going on, it's Jesus. So if he lives on the inside of you, his answer for this world is you. Is you. You say, I don't feel like I'm the answer. Jesus in you is the answer. And he's what makes you the answer. But you, you are beautiful in his sight. He don't put himself in junk. He don't put himself in things that are not found of value to him. You are valuable. Do you know, and I know we've said this a million times, but when you were born, 7 million, 6 million choices. I think once you get to 1 million, it's like, okay, that blows my mind anyway. But 6 or 7 million choices could be sitting in that seat. Philip could have been one of any 6 or 7 million babies that God could have given me at the moment that I got pregnant. But he chose Philip. He chose him. Now I know why he chose Philip, because he said, I need somebody that's going to be peaceful. I need somebody that's not going to get on her nerves too much so he can live and not die. I'm going to need somebody that's going to be the quiet storm, but he's going to be able to wrangle up the other two and be the quietness to their storm sometimes. Amen? God doesn't put anybody together by happenstance, and God didn't put you on this earth by happenstance. And I'm tired of the enemy telling you that you don't matter. Even more so, I know. I'm a country girl. Okay, no, I'm not. I'm a small town girl. I hate spiders. So somebody told me one day, you're not a country girl, you're a small town girl. And those shoes are hurting my feet. Amen. Listen, it don't matter how you come into the kingdom. He's not looking at your outward appearance. Amen. He's waiting for you. Amen. He wants you. Amen? Amen. Amen. And anyway, it says, take your shoes off, because where you stand is holy ground. Amen. And I believe where I stand is holy ground. Amen? Amen. Anyway, okay, before I get too far, we're going to go to Ephesians 6, and we're going to start in 10. And I know Pastor Phil has said this, and we're going to reiterate some stuff, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So we're going to reiterate some stuff that Pastor Phil has already put in you. You going to put it up there for me? Oh, I'm sorry, Trey. I'm afraid to read my writing. It's not going to be good. Okay, can I have one person go back there and help Trey? He's trying to run the camera and run the words, and bless his heart. Okay, Logan's got him. Thank you, Logan. We appreciate Trey. Amen? Amen. We also appreciate his buddy, but his buddy's not here tonight, so he needs some help. Thank you, Logan. Okay, so finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're just going to keep reading for a while. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why would you have to stand against the wiles of the devil? Why would he even tell you that? Why would he tell you that to help you stand, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? Because if you don't have the armor of God on, if you aren't serving him, you can't stand against his wiles. Amen? Because they're coming. Oh, he's sending some wiles. Amen? Yes. To stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hold up. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Jeannie is not my enemy. Holly's not my enemy. I don't care if she's talking bad about me. And Holly would never do this. Don't let me put a thought in your head that would never be true. No. Amen. Even if she were talking about me like a dog, spreading my name out there and putting mud behind it, she's not my enemy. You understand that? God loves her just as much as he loves me. She's a child of God just as much as I'm a child of God. Now, y'all better be quiet, though, Holly, because God gets a hold of you for talking about his anointed. I'm his anointed. Phillips is anointed. Sheila's is anointed. Bucks is anointed. Shalim, Donna, Cassie, all of you are his anointed. Don't talk about each other. Don't touch another person with your words. Because what you're doing in your fight is you're fighting with the enemy now against yourself. Okay. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm just going to read it again, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against, to be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Can you put a picture up for me, Trey? Some of you may have seen this sign. Some of you seen that sign? It's not there now, but it was sitting out in our yard from 2014 until 2019. At the end of 2019, when it came down and the work on the land started. It used to say, Future Home of Only Believe Ministries Christian Center, coming 2014. You talk about the vein of my existence for a long time. It was a sign. I think, I told you I'm going to get raw. I thought I got all this crying out before church started. But it used to say coming in 2014. And I think probably about 2 years after that, we're like, we got to change that sign. We got to change the sign. And so we put coming soon in 2016. And you just heard me say it didn't come down until 2019. I cannot tell you how many attacks of the enemy came at us because we weren't building that building in those years. How disappointed people were when we saw it in their eyes. I was just reminded today that one of the first women's breakfasts that Holly came to, somebody asked about the land and the building and where we were at. And I said, I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about it. Because it became, I want to say, a thorn in the flesh. It was so painful at times. But we stood. See, the outward circumstances said, they're not building that building. 6 years. Before any material went up on the land was 6 years, right? Yeah, last year, yes, 6 years. I had to endure hearing oh, people are talking. I don't really want to hear it. It's what I'm saying in my head. And before I could get it out, they're saying, you ain't never going to build that building that you spent all that money. They're never going to build that building. I'm just giving you a visual of what it is to fight. I want you to see it. Because when I see that sign now, it's different than when I saw it 2 years ago. The feelings I had when I would see that sign, God, what's going on? It'll make you question every part of your walk with him. What did we do wrong? In 3 years, we bought land, people. We came here and, like, we were on the ground running. The first month they did miracle services with Pastor Peter Dosik out at the fairgrounds, and we had more than 40 people there every single Sunday night. The first service that we had in the morning in the old building, we had over 40 people. That night was Super Bowl Sunday. We had a service that night, and I think we had over 70 people in the building. Man, we were running. From that point on, we just ran. We just ran with whatever God told us to do. We just ran. And in 3 years, we bought land, but we were looking at buildings within two. Were we not, Linda? We looked at that one building that is now a truck place, a trailer, truck and trailer place on 309 as you're leaving town. We looked at that place like seven times trying to discuss it. Before we made a decision, because there were some of us that were just still praying about it because we didn't feel settled, but we didn't want to say no, because we didn't want to say no to something God had for us, but we didn't feel right about it. And there were some of us that were just still praying and just waiting to hear. And when they did it, they took the building off the market. It disappeared off the market. We looked for I don't know how many buildings we've looked at. I don't know how many pieces of land. Dave, you drove around with Phil, Pastor Phil, one time, and I don't know how many pieces of land you guys looked at. Yeah. Amen. And there was a voice that had said to us, there was a place where there had been a sign up for years and years and years off of 33, I think, that said future home of whatever the church's name was. And I'm telling you, we'd go by that thing for years and years and years, and there'd be no building up. All of a sudden, a building started to appear on that land. And somebody come back, and they saw it, and they said, that right there, God's reminding me of his faithfulness. I get stirred up every time I see that building going up, because I know our building's going up. And that person's faith started to kick in. We needed it. We needed a boost. Listen, we stand in faith, and we do, and we believe God's going to perform his word. But there are some times that we need somebody like Moses did. Amen. To come along and hold the arms up until we're strong enough again to do it by ourselves, because we know who God is and we know what God's done. And sometimes you don't grow weary in well-doing. Sometimes this load gets heavy. And so that was the bane of my existence for a little bit. I wouldn't even come out to the land sometimes. I wouldn't even drive out. Phil wants to drive out, pray over it. Okay. I don't even want to see it again. Why? Because it was a place that was supposed to be the place of promise. And right now it was just the place of my failure. I looked at it as my failure. What have I done wrong? Where did we go wrong? Is there sin in our lives, Jesus? Is there something we've done that we're not aware of because we want to get it out? Seeking, tears after tears, and then people start talking. Then you hear the voices that come up against you. And trust me, you want to defend yourself. You want to yell out, no, we are going to build that building. We have not spent the money. I could show you the savings account that's holding that money right now. But God said, shut up. Now, maybe God don't say that to you. It's okay. I don't take it as an offense. I don't. I'm hard-headed sometimes. You are my child. Don't forget. Amen. And God said, don't touch them. Don't speak on it. Don't say a word. I just want you to look around. How much bigger could God speak? But how much better was he faithful to perform the word he told us he would do? Yeah. And all we had to do was stand and wait. Like the woman with the issue of blood. That was our fight. Sometimes your fight is, it's always being thankful. Listen, it's always, God, I thank you that you've done it. After you've prayed for it and you've asked him to do it, God is not hard of hearing. God hears you. God, please do it. God, please do it. God, please heal my sister. You don't got to beg. You're not a beggar. You're the son of a king. The son of a king don't have to beg for anything. The son of a king gets to walk before the king and say, hey, daddy, I need this. Heal that person in the name of Jesus through the power and authority you've given me. I pray healing over this person. I pray peace over this person. So once you have asked God, once you have declared what it is, then start thanking him for the things he did and remind him of his word as you're thanking him. Father God, I thank you that you have healed this body. Father, I thank you I have no more issues. I thank you that you have strengthened me and that the blood of Jesus has made me free. I thank you that it's a finished work. The working of miracles is completed in my life. And I thank you that you have done it. That's my fight. That was our fight. Our fight wasn't going out to the world and screaming at the world, stop talking about us. You're lying. You're lying. It wasn't defending ourselves and getting mad at people for saying it. Did it hurt? Yes. Did it offend me? No. Know the difference. You can scratch my arm and it'll hurt and I won't be mad at you. You can bump my feelings and it'll hurt, but I won't be mad at you. Why? Because I have bumped so many people. I've done so many wrongs that God has forgiven me. I just had to call somebody up today because I was tired this morning. I hadn't been sleeping and there's just been a long week. And so I was dealing with somebody and I was not meaning to be rough, but my voice was sounding rough. So I called him on the way and said, you know what? I just want to say I'm sorry for my bad attitude. Well, you weren't doing it towards me. And I said, it don't matter. It doesn't matter that I was just letting loose of my bad attitude. There's no excuse for it. I apologize for it. Pay attention to what you're doing. Because didn't we just say, if you don't do what the word says, then you're helping and aiding the enemy out. Okay. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Just one more verse. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to know, make known the mystery of the gospel. Stand. The helmet of salvation. Why do you think salvation, the helmet of salvation goes, is fitting on your head? Because that's where a battle begins. The battle begins here. Is that not truth? A battle, sin. Listen, a man don't fall in bed with a woman. Let's just be real. Married or unmarried, a man, and with not his wife, a man doesn't, or a woman, doesn't fall in bed with somebody by happenstance. Or just, oh, it just happened. No, you've been thinking on that thing. You've had these thoughts running through your head, and you have envisioned, and you have seen, and you have had these thoughts, and you've had lustful thoughts going through your head. What is that? It's an attack of the enemy. You didn't have on the helmet of salvation. You weren't protecting your thoughts. Second Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that is exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. every thought. Every thought. I'm just not good enough. They always told me that I wouldn't amount to anything, and look at me now. I'm not amounting. Shut up! No! Stop that thought. Don't let it run through its course. Do you understand? If you just allow that role to that movie to play out in your head of who said what and how they said it and what it made you feel like when you, and then now all of a sudden you're fighting a battle that you should never have to fight, because that is not who God says you are. Stand up and say, no, that is not who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. I don't care what voice that spoke it said. I don't care how it made me feel. I've been set free, and he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I thank you, Lord, that you have broken every chain of bondage off of me. That is bondage, and I don't live there anymore. I thank you that you have given me peace. You have given me joy. I thank you that I'm going to think on things that are good. Let's just go to that real quick. I'm jumping, so... Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. Be careful. It means to be anxious, to come on to, to have thoughts that are corrupt. But he says, be careful for nothing. Don't have the thought that I'm not enough. Don't have the thought that I don't have enough. Don't have the thoughts that I'm not good enough to go where they've gone. I see them, and I see where God's brought them from. I'm never going to get there. That's a lie. That's a lie. The only thing that's going to keep you from moving out and moving into who God has you to be is you accepting who you are in Christ, or you keep allowing those thoughts to just run. You know, we've gone over things that had happened to me and the little girl. There's some kids in here, so I'm not going to say it, but you know what I mean. And I'm not even going to say how many years, but so many years later, a thought will try to jump into my head from that time frame. And I literally have to say, oh no, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Father, I thank you that you've healed me, you've set me free, and you've saved me from that stuff. That, Lord God, that doesn't identify who I am. You identify with who I am. What the enemy meant for evil, you have turned it around for my good. Amen? Amen. Amen. What he meant to destroy me made me stronger. Because you have made me stronger, Lord God. That now it's become a weapon that I have in my arsenal. Listen, if this has happened to you, I know God will heal you. I know God will set you free. And I know you will be like you have never felt that in your life, because God has done it for me. What they've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the what? My testimony will help set people free. And so were yours. If you don't let it go, you got to fight. You got to fight to keep who you are in Christ. Salvation was free, but it's time to get busy. It's time to get, you don't have to do anything for Jesus to love you. He came and got you when you was dead in sin. Most of us weren't even seeking him. I was not seeking for God. I was probably blaming God and asking him why he brought me on this earth in the first place. Because if this is what it's all going to be about in my own my life, then I don't want to be here. This makes no sense to me. I would talk to the man in the moon. Don't ask. I heard it somewhere. I don't know. Don't ask me. I just remember when I was a little kid, I thought about there was a man on the moon. It looked like there was a face up there. And so sometimes I'd go outside and I'd just scream at the man of the moon. Say, why? Why am I here? Listen, I'm not talking about when I was younger. I'm talking in my early 20s. Why am I here? Just to be a punching bag? Just to be somebody that somebody lies to and uses? What is this about? I didn't understand what had happened to me. I didn't understand why it happened to me. I didn't think that it was right. It wasn't fair. And if you know me, there's something in me that's all about fairness. It's got to be fair. If I'm going to get Philip something, okay, I don't get Josh anything anymore. I got to get those grandbabies something. He had babies. That's what happens. It's got to be fair. And in my world, what was happening to me wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. Now, I'd made some stupid decisions in my life, and I had done some really dumb things. And I had done something that had really almost just broke me. Which you know what that was, too. I've shared that with you, too. But what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it for good. And I can stand here and be that soldier for you. Like that person. Understand how important your words are. Understand how important you are to people. Because when we needed somebody to come and we needed faith just to lift up in us, somebody come said, I see that church. Do you see? It's being church on the front line or something like that. I can't remember. I can't remember the name of it. But I see that church. Do you see it? It's there. Man, every time I see that, I get fired up because I know God's going to bring our building to us. And we say, man, it's contagious. His faith, the weapon he had just yielded to us and got out, and he just cut the enemy in half with one statement to us about faith and what he saw and what was going to come to pass. Your voice is important. You can't allow the enemy to come in and continually beat you up. Continually tell you what you're not, who you're not. If I was better, I'd be doing this, or I'd be doing that, or I'd be doing this. Listen, when we got here in 3 years, it was not time for us to build this building. We were not ready. We were not ready for this building to be here. God had to grow us more. Right? How do you know that's true, Pastor Regina? Because we didn't build in 2014. 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, and we started at the end of 2019. So a full 6 years before any ground was broke, for sure. We weren't ready. What about the woman with the issue of blood? You all know who she is. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. Spent all she had at the doctors trying to get healed. Trying to get healed. What if she would have just given up? What if she would have just said, there's nothing more I can do? She didn't. She heard about this Jesus because she had to hear because she wasn't allowed to go out, right? So some saint, some person had to be speaking faith and touch this woman and get her faith moving. Hearing about the miracles. Oh my goodness, there's this man named Jesus. He went to the I can't think of the name of it right now. I just had it in my head and it left. But the thing, and the guy was just sitting there by the, come on, the water. Pool of Bethesda, thank you. He's sitting by the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus spoke to him, and God said, get up and walk, take your bed and walk. And he got up and he walked. Oh my goodness, there's this man yelling out to him. Yelling out to him. We were telling him, shut up, be quiet, be quiet. And he started yelling out all the more. And Jesus came to him, and Jesus touched him, and his name just went out of my head too. I know these people, but when you get super excited, sometimes you just move to the next thing, and I was doing Lazarus next, and so Lazarus is coming. But he gets up, and he takes his garment off the blind man. Bartimaeus, I got it myself. Thank you, Jesus, Holy Spirit. I didn't get it myself. You gave it to me. But blind Bartimaeus gets up, and the first thing he does is throws off the identification that the world gave him. And he steps over to Jesus. And you didn't, he saw. Blind Bartimaeus saw. Telling this to the woman with the issue of blood, or maybe outside of her window. Maybe they're just so excited, they're just shouting because the excitement overwhelms them. There was four lepers that came to him. They all got healed. He went to Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Oh, he said, after he cried, is Lazarus come forth? And out of that grave came Lazarus. You got to see this man. Let's go. He's coming through town right now. She's like, I am not missing this. I am not missing this. And she goes out, and if she's seen, she is dead. She don't care. She don't care, because at this point, I'm dead already. I've been dead for 12 years. I ain't got to go do nothing. I'm sitting in that room. I'm going to these doctors, or they're coming to me, whatever they did back in those days. And all I'm doing is just sitting here. I'm dead already. I'm dead already. I got nothing to lose. I got nothing to lose. I'm tired of staring at these four walls. Something has got to change. He's got to be the Savior. He has got to be the Messiah. And she pushed through the crowd. And she touched the hem of his garment, because she refused to be denied access to him. She didn't want to talk to him. She didn't care if he looked at her. She just wanted to touch him. And wholeness came upon her body. What if people wouldn't have spoke? What if she would have believed the lie that she would be like that for the rest of her life until she died, and that she was going to die an early death? I don't know what they told her. I just know things I've heard people be told that have had sickness on their bodies. Listen, your weapons matter. Your actions matter. If you're going to be a soldier, I have never seen in a movie. Okay, I haven't seen real life, so I have to use the movies. I'm expecting they're like real life, right? But I have never seen. Sure. I've never seen a true soldier sit down when there's a fight going on. Never. I've never heard of a true soldier run away from the fight. Never. I've heard that whatever it takes, they never leave a man behind. Whatever it takes, gunfire, shooting, and they'll crawl over and get their buddy and get him out of there. That's what a real soldier does. You need to be that soldier. When your friend is just getting fired at after fired at after fired at after fired at after fired at, we shouldn't have to get to this point before we step in. We shouldn't have to get to this point before we start fasting and praying. Because your best weapon, you know, when you say, I don't know what to do. How many times do we say that when we see somebody struggle? When we see somebody in a fight of their life, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm praying, but why are you acting like your prayer is not the most important thing that you can do? Do you understand how important your prayer? The word says, ask whatsoever in my name, believing, not wavering in your thought process, not thinking, not having doubt or unbelief in you, believing, and I'll give it to you. Amen. What part of that doesn't say that you're the answer? The power and authority that Jesus had, and I quote this all the time because it's one of my favorite scriptures, you now have, but greater, but at a greater dimension than him. And just, I don't know how we can do it, because my brain, his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. But think of all that Jesus did when he was on this earth in the Bible. And they say that this earth could not contain everything Jesus had done when he was on everything Jesus did when he was on this earth. That they just had to pick out. The Lord had to say, okay, we got to condense this. So the Bible can't be big enough to fit everything Jesus did when he was here on this earth in 3 years. Remember, he didn't start his ministry till he was 30, and he died at 33. What's our excuse? What's our excuse? What are we waiting for? You are a preacher of the word. out there, you're all that some Jesus may know. The people aren't going to come in here except for you talk to them. I know we've got people in here right now because somebody talked to them. I remember talking about that sign. The day we put it up, there was a guy in our church that was there for the first or second time. And we went out and put it up, and he came out. He's an atheist. He declared, "I'm an atheist." He's helping us put that sign up. I'm looking. I'm like, "Jesus? You see what's going on now? Jesus." And I'm just having to talk with Jesus. As this kid, he's not a kid anymore. He was a kid to me. Everybody's a kid to me almost. He's holding up the sign so they can pound it in. I said, "You got him, Jesus. You got him." But you know what brought him in really to the church? Because he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. His buddy, Steve, got changed. Steve lived it beyond here. He changed. God changed who he was. Radically changed. And he goes out there and this kid sees him living and treating things better, treating his wife better. He says all this stuff, but there's one thing Steve didn't like. Well, not one thing Steve didn't like. I'm sure Steve didn't like a bunch of stuff. But I didn't either, Steve. Obviously, it wasn't this one thing. Steve didn't like black people. I think he doesn't like some of you still, but he likes other black people. Just kidding. Just kidding. I was pointing at my son for that. Just kidding. But he said, "There's just one thing that if I see it, what are you going to do with you hating black people?" He said, "My pastor's black." It's all it took. The next service, that kid was sitting in service because God changed the heart of one person, and Steve used the weapon that he had. Steve used the weapon that he had in his arsenal, and it was natural to use it. He just lived it. Live it. Live it. Don't come in here and be nice to people and go out there and be mean to people. Don't come in here and raise your hands on Sunday and go out there and use them for anything different than blessing people throughout the week. Listen, you're a soldier. A soldier doesn't just train once and it's over with. Isn't there a constant training going on with soldiers? Constant training. Your constant training is being in the Word. The most important thing you need to know is what the Word says about who you are and what Jesus has done for you and what you need to expect. What are the promises of God? What did he say? What does he want me to do? I found myself in the Word. I found in Isaiah, I read it. I think it's 61. And it told me what he had called me to do. Because I said, "God, who am I?" I don't know. People kept saying to me this, this, and that. Phil knew who he was. We knew he was going to be a pastor. I don't really understand what a pastor's wife was like. You know what I mean? Because I was just truly saved. Didn't go to churches. Didn't see how people acted. Didn't know, understand. So I didn't know what that looked like. But I wanted to know what he had for me. Because I was more than just going to be somebody that sat there on that pew. I'm a soldier. I'm a fighter. I can't just sit there and watch it go on. I'll be part of it. Whatever that means, Jesus, what do you want? You can find yourself in the Word. Just ask him. Amen. He'll show you. Yes. Prayer. Prayer. If you're not praying, you're not winning. If you're not going before the throne, if you're not seeking him, your life will be so dry. You will fight every day with thoughts, with people, with situations, with not understanding you're not where you thought you would be at this point. You will fight, you will fight, you will fight, but it will be the wrong fight. Amen. Our soldiers do not stand on the line, turn their gun towards their people, and start shooting. Wouldn't that be the most craziest thing that you've ever seen? But we do it to ourselves all the time. We turn our weapon on us. Your words have meaning. Speak good things over yourself. Speak good things over your kids. Speak good things over your grandkids, your neighbors, your coworkers. I don't care if you get a coworker in that has no clue what they're doing, doesn't know how to do the job. You go home and you pray for them and say, Father God, I thank you that you give them wisdom beyond who they are. I thank you that you teach them quickly how to do that job and that that frustration comes off of them, Father God, and they come and say something to me about, man, it just clicked. What happened? So that I can tell them, Jesus happened because I prayed for you and I asked God to help you because I saw you were struggling and I don't want to see you struggle. Amen. Be the light. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to go over to be deceived, to mislead by a false appearance or statement, to delude, to mislead by deliberate misrepresentation or lies. That's what deceived is. So when you don't believe who God says you are, you're deceived. When you take on the stance of the enemy and start talking about your problem and start claiming, My dry cough, my leg, my knee, my bad knee, my stomach issue. No, it's not yours. Who said it was yours? Who said, did Jesus say that was yours? Did Jesus put that on you? No, because there's no bad thing. He only puts good and perfect gifts. Only gives good and perfect gifts. So Jesus did not put that thing on you. Amen? So how can it be yours? You claimed it. You opened the door and said, come on in. And you claimed it. That's how powerful your words are. Now, you won't hear me say that. That stomach issue that has hurt me, it's healed in Jesus' name. That thing over there, you know, there was a headache coming upon me and I just cursed it in the name of Jesus. Don't claim it. Don't sign for something. Don't allow it to come in because a good soldier will know what's knocking at the door before they open that door. Is that not true? Dave, you were in the military. Isn't that what you were taught? Or if you were getting ready to open that door up, they were there, right? I haven't shot one of those shotguns, so I know how to shoot one of these, though. But they were there. I can just envision in a half moon, everybody on their knees pointed towards that door. Come on. I don't want to say the word. I don't know if it's a bad word for you guys. Some words are bad for you, but come on, stinker. Just come in that door, because if you try to come in that door, we're going to obliterate you, right? Mm-hmm. Be ready with your weapons before you open that door up. Listen, and the important thing is, do you understand that the disciples never went out anywhere by themselves? Said they went out 2 by 2, get a prayer partner. Get an accountability person for you. Find an accountability person. Somebody that will pray with you. What's the word said? If one could put 1,000, two can put 10,000. The math of God amazes me. I claim that over my bank account. I'm going to put in 1,000 and suddenly 10,000 is going to show up. Amen. God can do it. His math's crazy. I love God's math. We want everything to make sense before we'll do it. Well, I have to understand why it's like that. Because if I don't understand why, what do you mean? Well, how does a person get healed? By the stripes of Jesus. Jesus went to the cross, and the same cross that caused your salvation caused your healing too. By his stripes, I am healed. Well, but how? What is wrong with you? Honestly, quit trying to figure everything out and just believe God at his word. Because if you're saved, you obviously believe that you have to have Jesus into your life for salvation and to go to heaven. And if that verse in the Bible was true, so is the other one. You got to believe this word. It's your weapon. It's your weapon. It's your life. Amen. This is your lifeline. Yes. Right here. You can have best friends that will lift you up all you want, but nothing will do it. Like getting into the Word. Amen. at getting before him in prayer and then getting up and praising him. Praising him. What you see me do here is nothing like what you would see me do in my house. I can't sing and dance at the same time because I run out of breath. But at home, who cares? I'm a praiser. Why? Because he's been so good to me. Because he's delivered me. He set me free. This, I would still serve him and worship him in that other building. And we would do it. We did it. How long? Two services. And we didn't let up. And we didn't care what building we were in. We were going to worship the Lord. Amen. So it has nothing to do with the building. I showed you that to give you an example of God's faithfulness. Amen. Of what he said he'll do. What he said he'll perform, he'll do it. It isn't about the building. It's about who God is and what God did. Amen. I would still do it over there. I'd run those aisles over there even more so. They were shorter than this one. Listen. It's time. It truly is time. You've got family. Some of you close by you. Some of you a little bit further. But they're starting to hear some stories about you. They're starting to hear there's a difference in who you are. And it's not time to back up. It's not time to let go. Because where you go, there goes your kids too. You know, we sing that song. I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. I sing that for other families all the time when I'm up here. And I have people in my head when I'm singing it. And I start jumping because I believe they're coming back. Doesn't have to be to this building. I'm talking about to the kingdom of God. Doesn't have to be to our church. It has to be to a church that serves him and that preaches his word. I want them in the kingdom, going to heaven. Amen? Not once did I think when I was singing that song about my own child. Did you see him? He's been here 3 times since Christmas. Since he's been 10, he's been at my house 4 times. 3 since Christmas. I think prodigals are returning. God is restoring. God is reuniting families. And what he's doing for one, he'll do for all. Amen. Amen? If I was you and my family needed reunited, I'd grab a hold of every part of that. Amen. And it's happening. Because when they walk in this building, they want to come to church. Am I lying? They feel your faith. Something's different here. These people are so kind. They see your love. They feel God in here. Because you're paying a price of getting before him. And you're showing up ready. And you're pouring yourself out. And the people that need it are getting filled. Amen. We got to be the soldiers that we've been called to be. Amen. Because this isn't just my family that's coming back. Me and my household. Me and my seed shall be saved. I'm a soldier. That is one of my scriptures. And God has let me see it in front of my face. And I didn't even realize it was happening. And the last time they were here, it came at me like a ton of bricks. And I'm like, oh my goodness, God. I've believed you for other families. Now, I've prayed for Josh, don't get me wrong. But when I prayed for other families, I wasn't thinking about my own son. I was thinking about that family. And he come walking in the door. They're all ready to come back. She's coming to the women's conference. Listen, these people are, amen. God is moving. And he ain't just doing that for me. He's doing it for you. He's restoring. Y'all feel him heavier than you ever have. You feel him in a more tangible way than you ever have. And it's time to not let that go. It's time to keep pressing in, using the weapons of warfare that God gave you. If you need prayer, ask for prayer. Moses needed somebody to hold his arms up. He needed help. Amen? We're all human. Don't feel bad if you need prayer for something. Don't feel bad if you fall short or you stumble for a second. Get up. get up and say, I was deceived that time. Father God, I repent. I will not do that again. I see where he got me. I see where I gave in. I see where I didn't take that thought into captive. I see where I just let it happen. Father God, forgive me and strengthen me because I seen it. Now next time, Lord God, that ain't happening again. I'm stronger now. Amen? Because where you break a bone, don't they say where you break a bone and it heals, it's stronger than in another place? I'm stronger. I seen it. I saw how it came. I saw how it rolled in. I know how this was going. I know how I felt. I see it. Don't come at me again, bro, because I'm ready. Amen? Because I'm fasting. And I'm praying. And I'm rebuking the enemy. And I'm reading and I'm using my word to fight the enemy until he's over there gone. Gone. Not just retreated for a moment, but gone. Anger, you can't just retreat from me for a moment. You have to be shattered completely out of my life. Addiction, you can't just be gone for a moment. I know you're going to come knocking again. But come on, buddy. Because I'm ready. Because greater who's he that is living inside of me than he that's in the world. And he has made me so much stronger than I used to be when you would come at me with those thoughts. It don't even affect me. Come on, come at me. Bring it, bring, come here, come at me. Okay, Darlene would never do this either, but she's offering me drugs. Guess what, Darlene? No, I don't need them, honey, but how are you doing? You struggling? You did? You shot up last night? She did it! She's not saying anything. And I'm not making fun of it. Listen, No. But you know what? It's okay. I'm going to pray for you because God delivered me. And what he's done for me, he's going to do for you. And I'm going to lift you up and I want you to come with me. I want you to come with me to church. I want you to come with me and just sit with me. And I'm going to come pick you up because I know that first day, the enemy comes at you like a flood and gives you all kinds of thoughts about how you're not good enough. But guess what? At my church, they don't care. They're going to love you as soon as you walk in that door. You're going to have people, you're going to say, would they stop shaking my hand? Can I just sit down, please? You know what just happened? What the enemy meant for evil. He's turned it for her good because now she's getting saved. Amen? Get strong enough. Build yourself up and be ready to be that person that makes the enemy pay and take another one out of the king into the kingdom. Amen? We're soldiers. We're going to fight. Father God, we just lift you up right now and we thank you. Father, I thank you. I know there's battles going on right now. I know that there are struggles. I know that people are dealing with low self-esteem. I know that people are dealing with financial issues, Father God. I know people are dealing with maybe even family issues, Father God. But Lord God, there is not one of those things that I've mentioned or anything I could mention that's not bigger than who you are. You say nothing is impossible with me. All you have to do is believe. Don't doubt. Don't waver. Just believe. Now, Father God, I thank you for the soldiers that are sitting here. I thank you that even now that you just drop on each one of them and add to them more of you. Deeper desire for the things of God. But also, Lord God, drop in them fire that stirs them up. Let them be the city on the hill. The land of Goshen sits here, and every single one of us, we are going to be that city that cries out, say, come here, because the lights on are here. The lights are on here. Jesus is here. Your answer is here. Lord, let every single one of them have a word in their mouth. It doesn't matter if it's just one. It doesn't matter if they stutter when they say it. It doesn't matter if they stumble with what to say. But give them boldness to say it, Lord God, to tell somebody about you. Father, I thank you that you anoint your soldiers to do your work in a deeper way. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Eva Mann says, please continue to pray for her grandson. He's being transported to Marion and also his sister. She's in the hospital with pneumonia. Father God, we curse pneumonia in these two kids and these two grandkids right now in the name of Jesus. Your word says to speak the word only and you'll do it. So Father, we curse pneumonia out of them right now. Tell it to come out and be made whole right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that they're going to be able to breathe deep, Lord God. Father, they're going to be able to get up and eat and do whatever they want. Energy is coming to those grandbabies, Father God. We thank you that you have touched them, you have healed them, Lord God. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Marie says, please keep her up in prayer. That was pain in her body. Be gone for good in Jesus' name. Lord, we stand with Marie. And we thank you, Father God, that pain in her body from her head to her feet has to go in Jesus' name. Father, we speak over Marie and we say thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus has healed her and made her free of this pain. And Father, we just thank you for it. We give you glory for it. And we thank you that even now she can move some parts that she wasn't able to because she was in pain. Lord, we thank you that relief has come to her in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that the rest of this week into Sunday, you're going to help us to do what you tell us to do. We're going to be listening for your voice. We're not going to feel bad. We're just going to listen and we're going to do what you tell us. And Father, I thank you that you're going to help us reach out to somebody who needs you. And Lord, I give you glory for it. Go with them, bless them, keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them and give them peace. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, offering buckets, if you can just bring them up. Sorry. I played a Pastor Phil Walker. Got so excited about the word. Listen, I understand because sometimes something burns so deep in you. Because people have to understand. You are who God says you are. You are what he says you are. You have what he says you have. Amen. See, you shouldn't have said offering buckets. You just got me going back up again. Get back on the bike. Keep on riding. I'm just kidding. Okay, if you have an offering, just hold it up. And just real quick, because I know we're at 8:23. They should be putting our cabinets in this weekend or at the beginning of the week. I have to go see them and see what day they're putting them in. And then the people that are coming out to put a template for the countertops are coming on the 22nd, which is Tuesday, I think. And so I said, are you kidding? How long are you going to be before you put the countertops in? Because you know that women's conference is coming fast and furious at us, right? And he said, oh, about 3 weeks. And I said, I know this is a guesstimation for you, but if you could do that, that would be amazing. Because that would put us right at the Wednesday before the women's conference. I said, we are believing to feed 300 people on that, 300 women on that Saturday. He said, really? I said, yeah. So if you could do that, he said, yeah, I'll see if I can put it in quicker. Listen, you all be in prayer that go in quicker. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for seed to sow. We thank you that as we sow seed, Lord God, that which they're sowing for, you give back to them 100-fold. Father, I thank you for those that are tithers, that are bringing tithes.